Richardson tells Fox News Maduro's support is waning.
He's on the defensive. I think there's a lot of momentum building by the Venezuelan people who are losing their homes, their jobs, they're hungry, the inflation is huge. I think that we made the right move, but now we've got to protect our diplomats. I don't think we need military intervention, but we got to protect our people there. They're going to stay. So that's objective one.
The Super Bowl is just 6 days away, and both teams arrived in Atlanta, Georgia on Sunday. Media Day takes place Monday. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Weather this afternoon, sunny with a high near 34. East wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, increasing clouds with a low around 22. Calm wind becoming east around 5 miles per hour after midnight. Tuesday, rain and snow likely before 2 p.m., then rain likely between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m., then rain and snow likely after 4 p.m. Cloudy with a high near 38, southeast wind 3 to 7 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 70%. New snow accumulation of less than a half an inch possible. Tuesday night, snow likely, mainly before 1 a.m. Cloudy, then gradually becoming partly cloudy with a low around 20. Light and variable wind becoming northwest 5 to 10 miles per hour in the evening. Chance of precipitation is 70%. New snow accumulation of 1 to 3 inches possible. Wednesday, a chance of snow showers, mostly sunny with a high near 24. West wind 7 to 16 miles per hour with gusts as high as 26 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 30%. New snow accumulation of less than a half an inch possible. Wednesday, mostly clear with a low around 2 degrees. Thursday, sunny with a high near 13. And on that note.
Yeah, you and your 2 degrees. Good afternoon. Welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there's a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office. We work out of our houses, use our own phones, that sort of thing. And what we try to do is we try to help people who either have someone in their family or know someone or work with someone or friends with someone who have a mental health issue, or the person themselves who have it, get the right kind of treatment that they need. And we do this in various ways. One of the ways we do it is we have what they call a family-to-family class, which just started this past Saturday. It's a 12-week course. It's totally free. You do not have to be a member of NAMI to join or come to the class, but you do have to register. And it's held on Saturday at the Hunterdon Medical Center from 9 to 11:30. And all the brochures, paper, everything that you get is free. And what it does is it tries to get the person taking the class to feel what it's like to be the person with the illness. And they do that by going over medications, side effects, what to do, what not to do, what not to say in certain circumstances. And it's everything, all the feedback we've gotten over the years is very good. We also have a support group that meets once a month on the third Thursday of every month at 52 East Main Street in Flemington. Again, you don't have to be a member of NAMI, and you don't have to register for that. You just have to come. It's from 7 to 8:30. One of the things that I think is very important is what we call an In Our Own Voice presentation. It's where people with mental illness speak about their problems, what they did, what they didn't do, and their successes, and how they're going on with their lives. And I think that's pretty awesome. If you need any more information or questions or anything like that, you can give us a call at 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't have someone manning the phone 24/7, but we do have a lady who checks it at least twice a day, and we promise we will get back to you. Today, we're very privileged to have with us Jamie Capizzuto. Did I say it right?
You did.
All right. And Jamie is a MSW, which is social worker, master's in social work. Mm-hmm. CSW is clinical social worker. Mm-hmm. Hey, I got it. How about that? And is in transition services at the Hunterdon Preparatory School. I think I said it. Jamie, welcome, and thank you for taking the time to come and be with us. You and I met at the Chamber Expo in November, or I guess it was November, and it's great that you come. I appreciate it, you know, because a lot of people may not know about your school and what it does and who it serves and everything, so it's great that you can come.
Thank you for having me.
I would like to, what does a transition service person do, and how did you get into that type of work?
Okay. So I started at the school about 8 years ago as a counselor, a therapist for our students. And I had, we have group counseling, and I had an older group of seniors. And I realized people with mental health issues have to concentrate on today, and very often they can't think ahead of the future. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my students, when they were looking at graduating, they were very frightened, very lost, very concerned, and I recognized that they needed some more support, so I proposed starting a program called Transition, and it includes internships for students, some college planning, some after-school planning, and it morphed into its own program. So I am involved in that, amongst other things.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the school has been in existence how long?
I'm going to say almost 45 years. We did have a name change. We used to be called Hunterdon Learning Center, and we were in Califon, New Jersey. And we moved about 5 or 6 years ago into Annandale, right off of Route 22 on Spencer Lane.
I found it.
Yes. Yes, you did. Yeah.
Would you explain exactly what the prep school is, and, you know.
Absolutely. So when we changed our name, the Hunterdon Learning Center was very sort of 70s, catchy, special ed, and the kids hated the name, so our students. So we thought long and hard about what we wanted to be called, and even though we are in Hunterdon County and serve Hunterdon County students, we also serve many other counties. I believe we have 9 different counties where students live right now. We've gone up to 12. But we have our roots in Hunterdon County, and so we wanted to keep involved in the county. And so we wanted Hunterdon to be part of our name. We decided on preparatory school. Preparatory school denotes some very bougie kind of expensive school. But I think ours is the ultimate preparatory school because we're preparing these young people for a life, a productive life, a healthy life. So we chose that name.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why was the school started back then?
Our population is different than it was back in the day. It was started by a gentleman named Jim Butters, who lived in the county. And Jim believed that some students didn't belong in a large public school. They could not do well. They had trouble staying in a small school. And back in the day, it was the kids who were what we call behaviorally defiant. Mm-hmm. They would be the kinds of kids that would get thrown out of school for fighting and for throwing things at teachers and other students. They were more violent. And so he started a school. It was the thought was, let me take these kids out. Let me chop wood with them. Let me do some farm work with them. Let me get them outdoors, almost like a wilderness type program.
Okay.
Less academic and more hands-on learning. And that's how it started. And as the years went on, our population changed and our mission changed. And we realized that our type of program didn't help those kind of students because we expect a lot from our students in terms of communication and learning, which I'll get into later. Mm-hmm. But We kind of changed the students that we work with, and now we work with students who really struggle with mental health issues. They're kids with severe depression, anxiety, mood disorders, and issues of that nature.
What about kids who have problems with drugs? Does that
So we don't take active drug users. Certainly some of our students struggle with that because they self-medicate. Right. And what happens is if we find that they're using, they're referred to treatment programs, and when they are, you know, more able to access what we have to offer, they're able to return. But they can't be actively using because our program would not be able to help them.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Do any of your students have disorders other than mental health issues?
No, I think that's the primary issue. They have to have some kind of emotional struggle, but it varies significantly. We have kids on the spectrum, and I wouldn't maybe classify that as a mental illness, but they're kids who have trouble connecting with others, who need social skills, guidance. We have kids who have eating disorders and kids who
right.
just they're the kids who want to connect so badly, but because of their struggles, can't really connect to others and have a lot of issues doing so. So we help them with that. And it doesn't matter what the main issue is, because they all kind of meld together when it comes to kids being kids, kids wanting to have relationships and friendships and being productive young citizens.
Now, does your school have after school activities, music, or whatever?
Mm-hmm. So we call it outside of the box education, and I think it's Toby Lloyd is our executive director now. He's been there for about 30 years, but I think that he kind of took a little bit of what Jim Butters did with the kind of unusual hands-on learning, but brought in the academic piece. But we do have a tremendous music and arts program. It's very therapeutic for our young people, and we do all kinds of activities around music and art. We have a school band. They go out. They can perform. We are in art and poetry contests around the state. We also have lots of outdoor education. Our phys ed electives include hiking and kayaking and fishing, things like that. And we do a lot of after-school activities with the kids because they come from so far away, and a lot of our kids have trouble making friendships. So we create things for them to do, not every week, but at least once a month. We recently had a snow tubing trip. We brought 32 kids snow tubing. We're doing a skiing trip this week. We do seasonal things, rock climbing. We'll go kayaking. And sometimes the students have the opportunity to sleep over at the school with the staff, and that's quite an adventure, too.
Yeah. I would imagine.
still a lot of outdoor things.
Lots of
interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think when a lot of schools cut back on it, we add it because it's very powerful and healing for young people to do things like that. And a lot of our kids are anxious about doing those kinds of activities. They're worried about, you know, they may have been bullied, so they were made fun of when they did physical activity. They're scared to put themselves out there. So we push them to do things like that with lots of encouragement, but try to get them out of their comfort zone.
Right. Okay.
I know a lot of times that some of the mental health hospitals use music and art and that type of thing to help the clients they have.
Yes.
And it helps. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody's into music. Not everybody's into, well, a lot of teenagers are into music, but may not the kind of music that, you know, would be in the school. But,
right.
But you know, into art. But there are so many other things that they could be involved in. And
absolutely.
That's great, too.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
That would be good.
Good afternoon. This is Tracy Ivey of Mental Health Matters. We are here with Jamie Capizzuto, Hunterdon Learning Center. We have been talking about the Hunterdon Preparatory School. Hunterdon Preparatory School in Annandale. We were talking about some of the outdoor activities. What grades do you serve?
We have kids start in 7th grade and we go through 12th grade, but we recently started a program for students over 18, and I think our oldest student is 22 years old, but we can go even higher than that, and that's a transition program for kids who have graduated but still need support.
So about how many students do you have altogether?
We have about 85 kids. We're very small but very mighty.
Okay. And how do you get them?
So typically in the past, our kids came from case managers in special education departments. So a student might have been struggling at their local school, and they may have stopped coming to school, refused to go to school, been placed on home instruction. They may have had a suicide attempt. They may have had multiple hospitalizations. different. They may have been bullied relentlessly and just are too upset to stay in school. So eventually the children have what are called IEPs, which are individual educational plans. And usually the primary diagnosis has to do with a mental health issue. Sometimes they have learning disabilities. They may or may not. And they all have a case manager at their sending district. And the case manager eventually says, or the parent will say to the case manager, my child is not thriving here. They're not even attending, or your school is unable to service them. So they make an outside referral, and they are placed in what they call an out-of-district placement. And there are, believe it or not, I believe it's about 168 private out-of-district placement schools in New Jersey alone. Mm. We are the state with the highest number of special education schools. And the parents are given a list. They have to be approved by the state. And they're given a list, and they go and they seek a placement for their child. So the case manager refers them, and if it's an appropriate fit, we will give them an interview, and if it seems like it's a good match, then we will accept them. We only accept about 50% of the students that are referred to us, and it's not to be exclusive. It's because after all these years, we know what students we work best with. Mm-hmm. Hmm. And also, so they used to be referred only by case managers, but more and more people are learning about us, and people are referring friends to us. We have physicians referring students now, and private therapists, but people in the community. But it does, if it's going through the school district, it does ultimately have to go through the case manager. But in the recent years, we've taken a few private pay students because parents have wanted their children placed, and the district may not agree to the placement, so the parents can pay privately. It is an option.
All right. The programs now, are they geared towards getting a diploma like regular high school? So there's math and there's science and mm-hmm. what have you. Mm-hmm. What about the teachers who teach these?
Mm-hmm. So the students remain students in their sending district. So, for instance, if a student is North Huntington High School student, the school pays for them to come to our school, but their diploma actually comes from North Huntington okay. High School. So what we do is we work with all the sending districts to create a curriculum for the students. And every district has different regulations. There are certain state regulations, but a district may require one thing that another may not. So we look at the particular student's IEP, the individual educational program, and we adhere to that. But yes, the students receive a regular diploma. They take standardized testing, all the state testing requirements, unless they're excused for a particular reason. They take language, science, math, history. We have a pretty creative curriculum, though. So our history class, one of them is called Global Issues, and the students learn, it's for seniors, and they learn all about what's going on in the world around them. We try to make the classes more engaging. They all take American history and European, but we try to make it more relevant and a little more engaging for the students.
Now, you have counselors on staff?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Could you talk to that a little bit?
Absolutely. So mental health issues are the main priority for our students. So when they first come, they are put in a caseload with a counselor. We have 5 full-time counselors on staff, 1 psychologist, and 4 social workers for 85 children. So wrap your head around that. So they're intensive services. The students have group counseling 3 times a week, and they can see an individual counselor at any point during the day. So unlike a public high school, when a student is struggling, they usually end up at a nurse's office complaining of physical symptoms. They may spend time with a guidance counselor, but those, you know, guidance counselor could have hundreds of students on their roll.
Right.
So when you have a student struggling, it's very difficult in a public school setting. So we provide students the opportunity to say to their teacher, can I go to the bench, which is where the kids wait to see a counselor? And they're seen usually within a half hour. And the goal is to talk about whatever's concerning the student and then get them back to class. Because a lot of our kids have spent days in nurses' offices and days in counselors' offices. But this is to just let them talk about what they need to talk about and then go back to your academics.
Right.
And it works really well, especially they have counseling 3 times a week. And I can talk about the counseling program if you'd like.
Sure. Go ahead.
So our counseling program is called Communication Lab. It's actually a class. And students basically learn how to talk about their issues and to talk about what is upsetting them, concerning them, disturbing them, weighing on them, rather than keep it inside. And our counseling group there's about 9 kids in a class with a therapist, and it is led by the therapist, but truly led by the students. They supervise it, but the kids really know as they get older and they've been in there for a while, they know what they need to do. And they need to do one of 3 things. They can talk about an issue that's concerning them. They can very civically confront someone with an issue that is bothering them, and they can offer support to another student. So I'll give you an example. A student comes into group and says, I have an agenda. And the counselor will say, okay. So the student will say, I have an issue with Mr. Wright, and Mr. Wright is a teacher at the school. And so Mr. Wright has 24 hours to come into that group. And the student will say to Mr. Wright, I was really upset that you yelled at me in front of the whole class about my homework, that I didn't do it. And, you know, I was yelled at by my teachers all through school, and it made me really upset. And I don't even want to come here because you did that. And what I want from you is a commitment that you're not going to do that again. And, you know, how I feel about it is I'm really mad at you. And the teacher's not allowed to say anything. And the teacher has to listen respectfully to the mm-hmm. student. And then the teacher has an opportunity to respond. And say, and it might go something like this. Hey, Joe, I'm really sorry that, you know, that I said that, and that was not my intention. I said it because I care about you, and I know that you've struggled with this, but I know that you have this in you, and I want you to do this because you told me that you want to go to college, and this is preparation. So if I took a tone with you, that was not my intention. It's to get you moving and to get you going, and I'm sorry, and I'll be more mindful of that, and I'm not going to do that again. So and then they go back and forth until they resolve it. And then everybody else in the group gets to weigh in. And they may say they may say something like, hey, Joe, you know, he didn't yell at you. I was standing right there. It was like, you're so sensitive. Or they may say, hey, Mr. Wright, you did that to me too. You always do that. And then Mr. Wright has to respond. And so it's teaching. What it does is it teaches the kids that adults – can listen to you. They can be respectful when you're respectful to them. And they will listen to mm-hmm. you when you communicate in a mature way. It teaches kids that they have a right to say what's going on with them, and they have a right to answers as long as they do it in a respectful way.
Okay.
And it's all kinds of conflict resolution, and they do it with each other. And it's a wonderful thing to see that process. And anybody can get called into group, a counselor, a teacher, the maintenance man, the director of the school, anyone in our community.
Okay.
That's really interesting, the whole, because I think people in general have a problem communicating those types of issues. And mm-hmm. if you have a mental health issue, do you have to coach the student to learn how to communicate respectfully so that this doesn't deteriorate into an argument?
Absolutely. And, you know, the students, when they come to the school during their interview, this is all laid out for them. And they have to commit it. We call it the good faith agreement. And the staff, when they're hired, has to commit to this also. And if you're not willing to do it, if you're not willing to have a student confront you, you can't work there. If you're not willing to work out your issues as a student, you can't come there. And so this is all laid out for them. And what we say to them is, you don't need to know how to do this, but you need to agree that you're willing to learn and that you're going to try. And we'll teach you how, but it avoids all this explosive behavior, and it avoids the anger and the resentment. And so, you know, a student who had a conflict with a teacher in their public school may resort, you know, to cutting themselves when they get upset, or you know, more significant right. issues, drug use. And instead, we'll say to them, you don't have to go there. You can do this instead. So you don't have to sit on this, and you don't have to live with this. And the hope and what usually happens is the kids learn to generalize it, and they learn to generalize it with their families, with their relationships outside of school. And they learn how to get their needs met without doing harmful things.
It's such an important life skill. It's not just mm-hmm. one skill. It's mm-hmm. a lot of skills.
Yeah, seems. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You get a student, and it's a normal day. What's his normal, he or she's normal mm-hmm. day like?
Okay. So they come in, and myself and another counselor sit in the lobby for 1 hour until all the buses come. And we greet them as they're coming in. And what we're doing is we're kind of assessing what kind of shape the student is in. So I'd say we flag maybe 4 or 5 kids who look like they're having a really hard time. And we say, you're okay? You want to talk to someone? And right away, we ship them off to the counselor. And they get to talk. And it may have been just a bad night's sleep. It may have been that they were thinking about committing suicide. It may be that they had a fight with their mom. It may be that they're worried about something, about an exam, all a whole spectrum of things. But, you know, it's important to address that immediately because we don't know what's going on right. until we figure it out. And a lot of times the kids will say, can I see someone? Can I talk to someone? And you know, so they come in off their buses. They get signed into homeroom. We have morning meeting, afternoon meeting, and a wrap-up meeting. We're very big on expectations at the school. So the kids know, you know, this is what's going on today. Mr. Cartwright, Ms. Capizzuto is having a guest come in. So they'll be walking around the school. We're going to have a sale of pretzels in this homeroom. We're gonna have an interview. So we have a rolling admission. So there's going to be student visiting, and so they know what to expect for the day, no surprises. Then they have their morning meeting and they go to their academics. Their periods are 40 minutes.
Okay.
And which is really great because I think, you know, I know a lot of these schools have block scheduling. It's very hard for anyone to sit for 80 minutes. I don't think I could have done it when I was that age. So they're 40-minute classes, and then they switch to the next, like regular high school. No bells. They just know it's time to go. The teacher excuses them. They go to the next class, do all their academics. They have lunchtime, so they are free to have lunch throughout the building with students. Sometimes they'll sit in a counselor's office with a nurse. None of the staff goes out for lunch. We all are engaged with the kids. Everyone is eating with the kids, and they can sit with anyone they want to as long as that person is available. And then after lunch, we have our electives. On Tuesday and Thursday, we have our phys eds, which are bowling, fishing, weather permitted, hiking, couch to 5K, trying to think what else, yoga, classes like that. And the goal for those phys eds are that they're lifelong skills. People can go out and, you know, when you're 40, you may not be playing lacrosse, but you might go on a hike, or you might take a yoga class, or you might go fishing. So we try to give them skills and classes that they'll actually use. And then Monday, Wednesday, and Friday are their electives. And our electives are things like cooking class. They have art. They have music where they can learn to play an instrument. We have drum, guitar, and piano. We have vocal lab, which they learn to sing and participate in our school band. They have a crafts class. They might do sewing or creating something. We're trying to get a robotics elective going, but we're looking for funding if anybody's out there wants to sponsor that.
I have a question about you said that you have these meetings three times a day. Now, does everyone in the school come together?
No, they're in their homeroom, so with their teachers. So they have a that morning meeting to let them know what's going to happen in the day. They have a check-in meeting just for 5 minutes after, right after lunch, saying this is what we're doing this afternoon, who's going where, so everybody knows what's going on, and then wrap up at the end of the day, just to let them know what's going to happen the next day and check in and make sure everyone's doing okay.
Do all these programs, are they for all the students, or do you try to direct students to programs that would best suit their issues and their needs and abilities?
Yeah, that's a great question. They're open to everyone, and we really encourage them to try different things. You know, you have your art kids, you have your music kids, you have your, and they do the same thing every, and that's okay. You know, it's okay to pursue something that you love, but we encourage them to try different things, but we don't force them to do anything. And I think that's the mistake that I know my own children hated in high school. They didn't want to play pickleball. Some of them didn't want to do volleyball. You know, it's great to be exposed, but it's not for everyone. And so, you know, if you love to be outside, great. Hike away. Do some winter hiking.
Right, right.
How much space do you have there? Do you have a couple acres? Or
no, we used to. So our old location, we were on a 100-acre farm, and this is maybe on 2 acres. It's pretty small, but we're right near Clinton, and so we get to access a lot of things outside. We go to Round Valley. We go. The kids go to the YMCA. They do the weights classes. We go into town. A lot of our kids participate in internships, so they go out into the community. So we use off-site a lot more, and it's good for our kids to be involved in the community.
So I guess you must have buses there waiting all the time to do these things.
We have small vans, and then occasionally we have to hire a big bus when we have a large group. Actually, we're having our Outside the Box fundraiser on April 4th, and that is the goal of that is to purchase more vans for the school because we go out so often. And it's not, you know, it's very therapeutic for these kids. A lot of our kids are so anxious and have been ill for so long that they haven't had the opportunity to do these types of things, to go out and enjoy the world outside of their homes or a hospital or a residential facility. So we like to take them out, and it can be a big step even for some of our kids to go to a restaurant and order something for themselves mm-hmm. and just enjoy life. So we try to do a lot of education outside, and yes, okay. we do a lot of transporting.
Why don't we talk a little more about the fundraiser and mm-hmm. how people, if anyone wants to find out more about it, where they can go for
sure.
information.
Absolutely. So our website is www.huntingtonprep.org, and there is a ton of information about the school and the fundraiser. We do this fundraiser every other year, and it's our largest fundraiser, and we are seeking funds for different activities. We bought a professional vocal recording booth with our last fundraiser because so many of our kids are into music, and some of our kids go into video production to college, and so we buy things that we couldn't otherwise buy with this. The fundraiser's open to families, to the community. We have lots of people from Huntington County who support us. If you want to make a monetary in-kind donation, we certainly accept that, but lots of stores and businesses will sponsor and donate items. We have a live and silent auction, and it's very exciting. Dr. D is going mm-hmm. to be our master
DJ.
Ceremony. Mm-hmm. Yep, he's gonna be there, and I know most people in Huntington County know who he is.
Is this a daytime fundraiser
It's an evening fundraiser, and our school band, some of our students and some of our staff, our music staff, will be performing there, and they are phenomenal. They could be professional. They're phenomenal. So they're going to be performing. We have some art on display that the students have done. And it's actually a very fun evening. We have kids talking and alumni parents who will speak about what the school has done for their child. Many parents will say, and it's a fairly often parents will say, "Your school saved my child's life. I don't know if my child would be here without you." So we have a lot of alumni parents, and it's very meaningful to them.
And it's held at the school, this
No,
right?
it's I'm sorry, okay. It's held at the Old Mill Inn in Basking Ridge. And the reason for that is that we have parents that come from everywhere, and it's sort of a good middle ground. We have students from 9 different counties and I believe about 38 sending districts this year. So it's not just Huntington County. People, because we're so specialized in what we do, people will come. Kids who refuse to go to their school will sit on the bus for an hour and a half every day and come to school, which is pretty amazing. We've kids from Woodbridge, and they're from everywhere. Hackettstown and Jefferson. It's amazing.
Right. And this is April what now?
April 4th. From 6:30 to 9:30.
And it's at the Old Mill Inn in Basking Ridge.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a time limit for a student to remain in the school, or is it on an individual basis, or how does that work?
That's a great question. So our average student comes in at the end of 9th or the beginning of 10th grade. And the reason for that is that districts do their best to help students, and they, when a student starts exhibiting issues, which generally happens in elementary school for mm-hmm. many of our students, the districts work very hard to provide the least restrictive environment, which is the law for students in the state of New Jersey and many other states, and they try to help the student. When it spirals out of control, the student is referred out. And unfortunately, that doesn't happen for many of them until they're in ninth, 10th grade. And sometimes that's very, very late for kids to get help. And so by the time a student gets to us, unfortunately, they're usually very broken. They're coming from being hospitalized multiple times because of suicide attempts. They have not gone to school. I've had kids who haven't gone to school in 2 years.
Wow.
So by the time they get to us, they're really, really in pretty rough shape. And so we have to get them to that point. And unfortunately, when they get there so late, by the time the work begins, they're ready to graduate, which is why we started this, what we call our 12-plus program, where they sometimes need more time. And some of the districts are supportive of it. Some of them are not, and it's not because they're being punitive. It's for financial restrictions. Sending a student out of district is a tremendous financial commitment for districts. But some kids, you know, it saves their life. So, you know, I always tell people who, you know, may not understand that you're either going to pay for this now or you're going to pay later
on.
And you're going to pay for a very long time if you can't create a self-reliant, productive citizen.
Right, right. We have to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
That's the internship program.
This is Mental Health Matters, and we are here with Jamie Capizzuto of Hunterdon Preparatory School. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Jamie, we talked about a couple of things at the break. Where do we want to start off?
I thought I'd talk a little bit about our internship program.
Sure.
It's called our SLE program, which stands for Structured Learning Experience. And what that is students, when they're juniors or seniors, go out into the community and they do work in the community. They either do volunteer internships, sometimes they're paid. And what I do is I sit down with students and ask them, what are they passionate about? What do they like? And some students may say, oh, I love dogs, or I love math, or I love clothing, whatever it is. And I try to find them an appropriate placement for them to try and work. And many of our students have never been able to work. Some of them, as seniors, have never held down a job because of their anxiety. They don't have a driver's license. They may, you know, be just so caught up in their own heads that they can't possibly go out and work. So we start off slow, a couple of hours a week. And you know, I'm very proud to say in 5 years since the program started, we started off with three students students. And last year we had 18 students out in the community. And
That's great.
They're doing all kinds of interesting work. Lots of members of the chamber have sponsored students and jobs and people around this community. So usually what I do is if I have a student, you know, I had a student who was into engineering, I found an engineering firm who was willing to take them. And it's a really nice way. And many of our students have gotten hired and have gotten job offers. And at the very least, they have something to put on their resume, and they gain confidence, and they become – I always tell the mentors that I don't want them to be employed. I want them, after their experience, to be employable.
Right.
And teaching them all those skills that
yeah, and if they're working in – well, even like, say, engineering, and they're working in some company or whatever, they have to deal with people.
That's right.
You know, which they may not have dealt with before or don't know how to deal
That's right.
And so it's, you know, that that helps, sure.
Yeah, and Larry, many people tell me that our kids, as high school kids, are more efficient, more responsible than other high school and college students, because our kids have been through the ringer, and they don't want to, they're not interested in dealing with nonsense. They're so appreciative of everything that people do for them, and so appreciative that they have this opportunity, that they're usually terrific workers, and they're very responsible.
Right.
You mentioned mentors. Who are these mentors? Are they?
So we identify people in the community who have an interest in sponsoring a student, and they may be a store owner, they may be a manager, they may be a business owner, they may just be someone who is interested in helping someone. And so I explain our program and about the kids, and then they're willing to take them under their wing, and it's been wonderful. We've had people who have home businesses host the kids and teach them marketing. You can't imagine the diversity of the business people, and people are usually very open to it. They're a little nervous at first, but so I'm kind of the intermediary and help them.
So someone could be a mentor. That doesn't necessarily mean that the student is going to work at that company. They're just giving another layer of guidance, I guess.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they didn't work in a company, what would they do?
So sometimes we've had someone who is in marketing, and I had a student who was very into graphic arts and marketing. So she would give her some work to do on the computer, and the student, and give her feedback on it, or someone who's interested in art school, someone who may be into the arts but may not have a work opportunity for them, or someone who has music skills.
Right.
They say, hey, you know, may have connections for the student, or may just have advice. How do I apply? Where do I go? What do I do?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
So we only have a few minutes left, and I think we could do this show for another hour with all we're learning about your school. It's pretty amazing. What did you want to talk a little bit about some success stories, maybe?
Oh, I would love to. Okay. I'll talk about a boy who I'll call Carl. But he came to us in 10th grade. And my first interaction with him was he came from another private school that he was kicked out of, and he was very hostile, really angry at everyone and everything. And he asked me what he would have to do, our first meeting, what he would have to do to get thrown out of the school. And then he said, to me, if I threw a chair through your window, would that get me kicked out? I said, yes, and also arrested. And over the years, he and I became very fond of each other, and he softened quite a bit. And he came to our school with, I think, a 1.0 GPA, and he was actually very, very bright. And he took him a while to get comfortable, to actually do some work and get invested in what we were offering him. probably ended up with maybe a 2.5 or 6 after a couple of years, brought it up. But he had great potential. He knocked it out of the park with his SATs. And no one in his family had ever gone to college. And the family was not very supportive of him going. They didn't think it was necessary. They wanted him to go out and get a job. He ended up going to our local community college, RVCC, and earned a 4.0 and for both years. And he had taken our music program and learned music production and wanted to do that. So he transferred from RV with a 4.0 to SCAD, which is the Savannah College of Art and Design. And he is going into his senior year, also has a phenomenal GPA. I had lunch with him over the holidays, and he is going to California to do an internship for the summer and expects to have many job offers. So it was an amazing story. But, I could think of 20 stories, right, off the top of my head. Kids who have said at graduation, I did not think I would even be alive, and they're going and doing their own thing, whether it be college or work or community service or,
Jamie, if somebody wanted more information, there were a website or a phone number or something that they could reach out to?
Yes, absolutely. I would recommend everyone go look at the website because there's wonderful information. It is www.huntertonprep.org. But our phone number is 908-832-7200. We encourage the community to come and visit our school. They can contact me, Jamie Capizzuto, and I'm happy to give them a tour. And it's because you never know when you're going to come upon someone that can use this. And so we encourage people to come and see it. So because when you speak about it, you can't even, it's not even anything that you can wrap your head around until you actually come to the school. So anyone is welcome.
And what is the phone number again?
908-832-7200, and my extension is 46.
All right, Jamie, I can't thank you enough for taking the time out to come. I know you have a busy schedule. I will tell you this, you will be coming back.
Okay.
Invite you back.
Thank you.
We ran out of time, we have probably a lot more to talk about. So, definitely we'd love to have you back.
Wonderful. I'd love to come. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. We'll see you again next week, same time, same station.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, the news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.huntertonhealthcare.org.
Former President Trump associate Roger Stone plans to plead not guilty in a D.C. federal court on Tuesday as part of the Robert Mueller investigation. Florida's Ethics Commission is looking into charges against former candidate for governor Andrew Gillum. He's accused of accepting gifts from lobbyists and vendors during his time as mayor of Tallahassee. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor, that I absolutely loved. And it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
A somber day of remembrance for NASA and astronauts all across the world. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes explains.
Today marks a tragic anniversary of the Space Shuttle Challenger tragedy. It exploded a minute 13 seconds after liftoff 33 years ago today.
We have a report from the flight dynamics officer that the vehicle has exploded. Flight director confirms that. We are looking at checking with the recovery forces to see what can be done at this point.
All seven astronauts aboard were killed, including the first teacher in space, Krista McAuliffe.
Brutal cold is affecting millions across the Midwest and Great Lakes and causing the cancellation of thousands of flights. Forecasts say temperatures in Chicago will drop well below zero beginning tomorrow night with wind chills as low as minus 55. The heavy snow in the Midwest will be moving east and causing headaches all along the East Coast. The storm is also expected to impact Super Bowl travel on Tuesday. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
The IRS is back to work processing tax returns and issuing refunds following the announcement that the partial government shutdown has ended. One of the things many folks worry about is getting audited. I had a chance to sit down and chat with Paul Schwartz. He's a CPA, and he talks about the actual number of how many folks are audited.
Typically, the percentage of people being audited is approximately 1% to 1.5%, which is a pretty low rate. Keeping in mind that 95% of all people who are audited are done so at random.
Schwartz also has some tips for you on how to not draw the eye of the IRS.
Well, the biggest thing is you want to make sure that you're showing enough income on the return to support normal everyday living expenses.